Exploration Stage 2. The Fall. Things go bad. But as we all know, the world is not working very well today. What happened? I believe the Bible gives us a very plausible answer to the next set of our ultimate questions. What went wrong with the world? Here are two sample passages from the Bible. One written by Moses right after the chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, and one written many years later by the Apostle Paul. The Bible assumes both accounts to be both humanly reasonable and true history. Read through these accounts carefully and see what you think. As an exploration stage 1, I will fill in some commentary to help us further understand the passages the best we can. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he also ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Romans 1, 18 through 25. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their ungodly unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God and give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Wow, some good things were said, and yes, some hard things were said. Here's some explanation of Genesis 3, 1 through 7 to consider. First, Satan questions God and tries to get humans to doubt God. This produced the original form of confusion over who gets to define truth. It's an authority issue. It begs the question, who is in charge of my life, me or God? Who should Adam and Eve listen to? Second, Satan tried to tempt humans to be able to have the same authority as God, and thus eventually being able to be their own God, dismissing the real God, their Maker. Third, after disobeying their Maker, Their conscience was struck, causing guilt and shame, knowing not only that they disobeyed and distrusted God, but they were dismantling the order God gave to the world. They sensed this would have consequences, both vertically and horizontally now, thus affecting peace that we learned about in stage one. Here's some explanation of Romans 1, 18 through 25. First, God's righteous judgment has to fairly fall on disobedience and rebellion, just like a good quality justice system should. It's an authority, order, and righteousness issue. Second, what are the characteristics of Adam and Eve's disobedience, which affects all humans since? The text tells us, A, suppress the truth. Like trying to hold a beach ball under the water, sinful, selfish humans now want to push down God's definition of truth and how life is supposed to be. In the words of Frank Sinatra, humans now want to do it my way. Exchange the truth. Humans have traded God's way for their own way. They feel that their way is worth more or is more valuable to them than God's way. C, because humans choose to suppress and exchange God's truth for their own opinions on truth, the text says their minds became futile. In Greek, this literally means wandering off. The text also says their hearts became darkened. In Greek, this literally meant cold and resistant to God. D. This causes an interesting juxtaposition. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. E. They began to value and give glory to themselves and other man-centered things, instead of the being, God, that had the highest value and worthy of the most glory in the world. F. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Created humanity tries to become godlike and self-sufficient. G. They not only exchanged the truth for a lie, but that exchange caused them to go all the way down the road of turning human-centered things into objects of worship. Today, this can include ourselves, our jobs, sex, cars, politics, etc. These are things we value and put our hope in. The Bible calls these things idols of the heart. And finally, H. Then God said, He gave them over. God let them go down the self-destructive path and see where it leads them. I will have to say that the social experiment that happened a couple of years ago in the city of Portland, Oregon, today is a clear example of this. It did not turn out well at all. Second, all of what the Apostle Paul is describing here can be summed up in one commonly used word over 400 times in the Bible, sin. Sin in the Bible is defined as anything we think, say, feel, or do that disobeys God and His right and good rule over us. Sin causes the discord we see now among all people in history and separates us from our relationship with God, our Maker. It deeply and historically corrupts order and peace, both horizontally between people and vertically between people and God. Third, the text tells us some sad news. In Romans, it says, as in any fair and good legal system, rightly but sadly, sin against God deserves and requires just punishment. Now, this begs the question I hope you are all asking. If this problem is true, can it ever be fixed? And if so, who will fix this major problem and how? Fortunately, the Bible gives us an answer to this question in Exploration Stage 3. Like Stage 1 of our exploration, let me end Stage 2 with another question for you. Does this part of the Bible give us a reasonably sufficient answer to the question, what went wrong in the world? In all honesty, I believe it does. Application questions. After reading about this stage of the epic story, what are three things that have made an impression on you? Two, what is a different way people try to answer the huge question of what went wrong with the world? How do you think those stories compare with the Bible's answers? Number three, has this stage of our journey together made you think of other biblical passages? If so, maybe write them down. And then finally, what are some of the key ways we see sin affecting our country today? What is at least one way sin affects you personally?